Now, everyone is familiar with the stories which began with this phrase, "I have bad news and good news." Well, that's the title of my message today, Bad News and Good News. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. And here's the bad news and the good news. Romans 6:23. Paul says here, the bad news, the wages of sin is death. And the good news, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bad news and good news. Now, man will not hear the good news until he's first heard the bad news. And a man will not be interested in the good news until he knows the extent of the bad news. And after a man has heard, really heard in his heart, the good news, he'll no longer fear the bad news. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I said? I said a man will not hear the good news. He'll not hear it until he's first heard the bad news. And a man will not be interested in the gift of God until he knows the extent of the wages of sin. And after one has heard, really heard in his heart and in his soul, that good news, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, he'll never any longer fear the bad news, because there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, let's dwell on those two things for a little while. What is the bad news and what is the good news? First of all, the bad news. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. I don't like to dwell on the bad news. I don't like to dwell on unpleasant things. But if we're going to be honest with our congregations, if we're going to be honest with our hearers, we're going to have to preach the bad news. Now, whether we like it or not, it's true. The wages of sin is death. Whether we like it or not, it's true. The wages of sin is death. Now, let me give you seven things. And I believe if you write these down, it'll be helpful to you to write them down and study them. Now listen to them. Seven things that have to do with this bad news. The first one is this. There is an eternal holy God, an almighty eternal holy God that I cannot satisfy. I cannot please this God. Now that's right. There's no way that I can please this holy God. The scripture says that. It says, in the flesh, no man can please God. In the flesh, no man can please God. The scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, of the pleasure of God. He dwells in a light to which no man can approach. This is what God said to Israel when he gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Their people were all out there, and the thunder and the lightning and the smoke and the glory of God filled the mountains. And God said to the people, don't come near the mountain. Stay away. You cannot please this God. And then the tabernacle. When you view that tabernacle in the wilderness, there's the Holy of Holies in which God dwelt. And no man was allowed to come into that Holy of Holies. Stay out. Only the high priest once a year, and then not without blood. So there is a holy God, an eternal, almighty, holy God that I cannot please. That's bad news. Secondly, now get this. There's a holy law which I cannot keep. Paul wrote this in Galatians. He said, tell me, you that would be under the law, do you not hear the law? Would you be under the law of God? Would you seek to obey the law of God? Do you hear the law of God? The holy law of God requires what you cannot produce, what you cannot keep. The holy law of God requires absolute, unchangeable, perfect obedience, inwardly and outwardly. There's a law that I cannot keep. It demands what you and I do not have. It demands first the holy birth. It demands a holy love. It demands a sinless heart. It condemns even a thought contrary to perfection. That's bad news. There's a law which I cannot keep, a holy, immaculate, infinite God that I cannot please. And there's a law given by that God, impossible for me to keep. Bad news. And then thirdly, there is a righteousness. There is a righteousness. Now the Bible talks all the way through about righteousness, 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 righteousness. There's a righteousness and a holiness required which I cannot produce. I know a lot of people are trying it. That's what he said in Romans 10. He said they're ignorant of God's holiness and going about to establish their own righteousness. But our Lord said in Matthew 5:20, I say unto you, and he said this to his disciples, I say unto you, my chosen 12, my disciples, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of God. You've got to have a righteousness far better, far greater than the best righteousness that any man can produce. There's a righteousness required, and this is the very holiness of God Himself, which is required of all men. Deuteronomy 10:12 says this, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Have you ever read that scripture? That's pretty plain, isn't it? It's a good question. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Can you answer that? I can. Read on. But to fear the Lord thy God, fear him in a reverence, an awe, a worship, a subjection, fear the Lord thy God, walk in all his ways, not the ones you approve of, the ones you can keep, all his ways. Love him with all your heart. Serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Put tall order in it. And there's no way that you can do it. Absolutely no way. There's a righteousness I cannot produce. That's bad news. Because God cannot compromise his law. He cannot compromise his holiness. He cannot accept anything inferior. To be accepted, the Word of God says it must be perfect. And under that rule, nothing good you've ever done has been accepted because it's not perfect. And then fourthly, this is bad news. There's a love I cannot give. There's a lot of talk about love. I hear the talk all the time. I hear them talk about love. But I'll tell you this, the love which God requires, no man knows anything about. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl has at all. Not even a smidgen of it. Not the love which God requires. This love requires loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know anything about that? And this love requires you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Know anything about that? This love requires you to love your enemies. Love them that hate you and them that despise you and them that say all manner of evil against you. Do what? Tolerate them? Pity them? No, sir. Love them. Love as God loves. Lay down your life for your enemies. That's the love that is required that you and I cannot give. That's bad news. God cannot accept anything less. Nothing less. And then fifthly, this is bad news. But it won't change. There's a sin that I cannot get rid of. That's right. There's a sin. We're sinners. We're sinners. Didn't used to be sinners. We're sinners now. There are unbelieving sinners and believing sinners and saved sinners and unsaved sinners and white sinners and black sinners and old sinners and young sinners. But everybody in this world, born from Adam, of the human race right now, as of this moment, is a sinner. And if anybody says he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. And he makes God a liar. There's a sin we cannot get rid of. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. None. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. Sin dominates your thoughts, dominates your dreams, dominates your words, and dominates your acts in the flesh. Sin is as much a part of you as your blood. Sin is born in us, dwells in us, and we can't get rid of it. Repentance won't put away sin. You can be sorry all you want to. Baptism won't put away sin. Walking a church aisle won't put away sin. Shaking a preacher's hand won't put away sin. A profession of faith won't put away sin. God must and will punish sin. And that's bad news. Because we've got plenty of it. And it keeps adding up. It keeps on adding up. The mountain keeps getting higher and higher, and the ditch keeps getting deeper and deeper, and the picture keeps getting blacker and blacker. And the wages of sin is death, and sin, when it's finished, is going to bring forth death. That's bad news. And in the sixth place, there's a judgment. There's an awesome, awful judgment that we cannot endure. We cannot endure. It's appointed unto me and once to die, and after this, judgment. Judgment. Every man shall stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Small and great, rich and poor, old and young, shall stand before God and be judged out of those things written in God's books. God's book and your book. God's book of law, God's book of truth, God's book of holiness, and your book, which is an ugly book, and my book, which is an ugly book. And God's going to judge this world by that man, Jesus Christ, which will do nothing but add to our condemnation if we do not know him. Now, here's the seventh thing. This is bad news. And like I said, I hate to dwell on the bad news, but it has to be preached. We have to face the truth. There is a condemnation that I cannot escape. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the condemnation. I've sinned. I got to die. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. God Almighty said that. He hadn't changed yet. Everyone's going to spend eternity somewhere, either in his presence or separated from his presence. That's right. So I tell you, this is bad news. There's a God I cannot please. There's a law I cannot keep. There's a righteousness I cannot produce. There's a love I cannot give. There's a sin I can't get rid of. There's a judgment I fear I don't want to face because I can't endure it. My record won't stand the searchlight of God Almighty's piercing sovereign eye. And there's a condemnation that if I stand in that judgment, I cannot escape. And you don't have any reason to doubt what I'm saying. This is true. The Word of God's too plain on the subject. The wages of sin is death. That's bad news. But here's the good news. I said the title of this message is Bad News and Good News. I've got some good news. You see, this is what the gospel is all about. The word gospel is good news. Because it relates to these things that make up the bad news. This is what the angels said to the shepherds on the Judean hillsides. They said, we bring you good news. We bring you glad tidings of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Somebody who can do something about the bad news. Somebody who can do something about the predicament in which we have been born and lived and will die if he doesn't do something about it. You see, 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is good news. This is a faithful saying. A faithful saying, a sure saying, and worthy of acceptation by all, that Jesus Christ became a man. He came into this world, the Lord of glory, took upon himself human flesh to do for us what we couldn't do, to do for us what's required, to do for us what is demanded, to do for us what we cannot effect ourselves, and that is to save us from our sins. By one man's disobedience, we became sinners. By another man's obedience, we became righteous. Bad news, good news. As in Adam, all die. Bad news. In Christ, we're made alive. Good news. As we have borne the image of the earthy, bad news. We shall bear the image of the heavenly. That's good news. You see? So let's take these seven things. You remember the seven things I gave you? The seven things I gave you. Let's see how we're going to cope with these things now. As a God, I cannot please. In the flesh, no man can please God. But Christ pleased it. Christ the man, my representative, pleased the Father. The Father spake from heaven and said that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Christ himself said this, I always do those things that please my Father. He became a man, born of a woman. And all that he did and all that he thought and all that he said, actually, completely, pleased the Father. And let me tell you now, if he's my representative and I dwell in him, and he did that not for himself, he had no sin, but if he did that for me, if I'm one of those somebodies for which he pleased the Father, then in him I pleased God. You understand? He pleased the Father. And then secondly, what did I say? There's a law I cannot keep. A law I cannot keep. He did. Listen, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were born under the law. All that the law required, all that the law demanded of you and me, Christ fulfilled. Yes, he did. I'll give you an example. What's the one word? The one word that's given two or three times in the Scripture as being the fulfillment of the law. What does it say? All the law is fulfilled in this one word. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. He did. He did. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And when he died, you say, did he love his enemies more than himself? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. A law I cannot keep, but a law he kept. Thirdly, there's a righteousness I cannot produce, a holiness, an immaculate, infinite, God-honoring holiness and righteousness. He did. His righteousness, his obedience was perfect. By one man's sin, by the disobedience of that man, we were made sinners. So by the obedience of Christ, we were made righteous. Even his enemies could find no fault in him. In Romans 10:4 said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to them that believe. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he was made sin for us who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. And Jeremiah called him the Lord our righteousness. A righteousness I cannot produce. But he did. He did. And do you know how I know that the Heavenly Father was totally pleased with his righteousness? He raised him from the dead and exalted him to his right hand. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And then fourthly, there's a love I cannot give. But he did. His love is so perfect. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the flesh, as a man, loved so perfectly, he could say to his disciples something you cannot say, never have been able to, never will be able to say. He looked at his disciples and he said, you love one another as I loved you. I'm the example of love. I'm the perfect pattern. You love like I love. That's perfect love. His perfect love was twofold. He loved his Father. He prayed, not my will, but thy will be done, and meant it. He loved his own disciples. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And Paul wrote this. He said, you let this mind this spirit, this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the habit of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's his love. That's his love. Perfect, everlasting, infinite, unchanging, infallible love. I can't produce it, but my friend, my substitute did. My Lord did. And then in the fifth place, what was that next word I used? I said there's a sin I cannot get rid of. Can't get rid of it. It stains, it mars everything I do. Sin. Sin is mixed with all I do. And you too. How can sin be put away? Jewish sacrifices wouldn't put away sin. The Bible says that. The Bible says all the blood on Jewish altars slain, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Baptism can't take away sin. Repentance can't take away sin. Death won't take away sin. Because after men die, they meet their sins at the judgment. Hell won't take away sin. We can spend eternity separated from God, and it won't put sin away. We're still there. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's unholy be unholy still. Well, preacher, how can sin be put away? I'll tell you how sin can be put away. Away from you as far as the east is from the west. In the depths of the sea, to be remembered no more. Blotted out. Canceled. Here it is, Hebrews 9:26. He, Christ, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 1, having by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of God. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. One way sin can be put away, the blood of Christ, the death of Christ, the sacrifice of the Son of God. One way that sin can be canceled. One way that sin can be blotted out. One way that sin can be covered as a mercy seat of old covered the broken law. And that's through the blood of Christ. By one sacrifice, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. And God says their sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more. No more. I can't put it away. Pray till my knees wear out. Make professions and join churches. Like one preacher said one time, be baptized so many times, the frogs know my middle name. We won't put away sin. But his blood maketh atonement for sin. God said, now see the blood pass over you. The last one, there's a judgment I cannot endure. I don't want to stand there. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be one of those charged with offending a holy God. What am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you. He was taken from prison and from judgment. He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And there is therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus the Lord. You know anything that's as good news, that's as much good news as that is? No transgressions, no condemnation. No judgment, that's right. There's therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. Paul challenged heaven, earth, and hell. He said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He said, look unto me and be ye saved. I'm God, there's none else. You know, Job wrote this. He said, deliver him from going down into the pit. I found a ransom. I found a ransom. Have you heard the bad news? Have you really heard the bad news? Have you really given it any thought? Are you accountable for sin? You are a sinner. Are you accountable? Yeah, well, to whom? The mother? No. Father? No. Preacher? You're accountable to God. David said that, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Have you heard the bad news? God's angry with the wicked. God will by no means clear the guilty. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. Have you heard the bad news? If you've ever heard the bad news, you'll be glad to hear this. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.